That's from the band Kaivama, which means Finnish American excavators. I did not know that. Some musicians you know there.
I do.
It's Sarah Pajunen and
Jonathan Redman.
Yes, we get to hear off of their album that came out in 2012 already. So get ready for our conversation with Mark Munger. Stay tuned. It is the Monday Morning Show on KEXE, KBXE.
We received support from Grand Rapids GM, located on Pokegama Avenue South, carrying a complete line of Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, and GMC vehicles, and inventory of used cars, and a dedicated service department. More Grand Rapids, GM.com.
Mark Munger is a retired judge from north of Duluth on the Cloquet River. All through his years as a judge, he was also writing historical fiction, personal essays, contemporary fiction. His latest is out on October 1st. It's the final of his Finnish history trilogy, Kotima, Homeland. I'm happy you are a retired judge because we get to see you here in our studios. Are you used to this yet, being
retired? I'm still technically a senior judge, but okay. I haven't done anything. I think it was in Hibbing back in June, so I haven't done a lot, and I'm liking not doing it.
Okay. And did you ever wear your hunting clothes underneath your robe?
Never.
Okay. You're getting ready for some grouse hunting later today?
I am. I brought my little Brittany Lilo with. She's in the car, so.
Okay. Well, we are excited to talk to you about this book. So I was thinking, just looking at it, because there's a really cool black and white photo on here of immigrants, and seeing the name of it, I thought, well, this is historical fiction, until I started reading it. And it's historical, but it's contemporary. It's also kind of a thriller. It has ties to our past, but ties to our future as well. Let's start with the character we get to follow through this book, Anders Alomaki.
Yes, Anders was the primary character, the protagonist in the first Finnish book, Suomalaiset, People of the Marsh, where I looked at his life in Duluth and on the Iron Range, 1908 to 1918. But I never really explored why he came. Why did he leave Finland and come to the United States in search of a better life, a better future? And so my friend Jerry Henkel, who used to be the editor of the New World Finn, which unfortunately no longer is being published, but a great little newspaper when it was around, he kept prodding me to push the Finnish-American thing further and further. So Suomalaiset, the second book, came out, and that explored the Winter War, Estonia, Finland, but not so much about Anders. That was more about his first love interest, Ellen Gustafsson, and what happened to her during the war. But Jerry kept pushing me and saying, you know, we got to know more about Anders and why he did what he did. And so I started thinking about, what prompted, my background is my grandfather came here from, at the time it was a part of Austria-Hungary, but it's now Slovenia, to the Iron Range, to Aurora, and he was a miner. And so I wanted to explore what prompted those immigrants to come in the late 1890s, early 1900s. So we start with Anders migrating from Finland to northern Norway, where he works in the copper mines there before he comes here.
Why did he come?
He was in search of a better life. He was trying to, I think, in some ways, avoid being part of the Russian army, though that really isn't a theme in the book, but I think that would be another motivation behind why folks like him left.
Okay.
And there was also, I think, an inspiration by his uncle.
Yes.
Of adventure.
Yes.
And so it seems to me that for him there was this image of coming to America would just open up all kinds of avenues.
Right. Yeah, his uncle Alvar, or the elf warrior, who was in the Russian army, at first Anders thought, well, maybe that's the route I should take. Maybe I should be a soldier of fortune. But he decided, nah, I don't want to serve the Tsar. And so, yes, he looked at other opportunities.
He had a good, family life after his mother remarries, after he loses his father and brother. And, the farm could be his if he stuck around their small town. But he, it seemed to me like his stepfather didn't really realize what introducing him to boxing was going to do for Anders.
Yeah, that's a theme that theme of the boxer in him was in Suomalaiset. But at the time we see him in Suomalaiset, the first book, he is basically giving it up. He's in his 20s or 30s at the time, and so he's no longer a boxer, but he does teach. He ends up in the Marine Corps in World War I, and he teaches some of his fellow Marines how to box. So I wanted to explore that again, go back to that theme and how he got into it. And he also teaches his stepson, who he marries, Heidi, in Aurora later on, and adopts the child and teaches him as well how to deal with bullies through the use of boxing. So that was another theme that I wanted to kind of explore again with Anders.
So Anders had a sense that he could make enough money in the mines to get to America, but he suddenly realized over time the savings were not enough. And so he went back to boxing, knowing that would be a way that he could potentially get here. But then there's an accident that occurs.
Right. And we won't spoil it too much. Yeah. But, that sours him on the sweet science, the science of boxing or the sport of boxing. But that is how he eventually makes it to America. He uses his purse from his last bout to go across the Atlantic and come to America. And what's kind of interesting to me as I look back on his character is Heidi's right. He had every opportunity to inherit the family farm as the adopted oldest son and only son in his adopted father's family. He would have gotten the farm, but he didn't want that life. But yet he comes to America, works in the mines, and all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but through evolution, decides, you know what, that farm life wasn't so bad after all. Right. And so that becomes his goal.
We're talking to author Mark Munger. He's in the studios with us this morning. We're hearing about his latest book coming out on October 1st, Kotama Homeland. So these are characters, the way that Michael and I are talking about Anders, the way you talk about it, if they feel real to us. But have you been just someone drawn to the immigrant story, or how does it come to be that you learn these stories to create this character?
Well, I'm not Finnish, and so now I've written these three fairly large books about Finnish Americans and the Finnish American immigrant experience. But my grandfather, we talked a little bit before we were on air, Ivan Kobe, or Kobe, as we'd pronounce it up here in the Northland, but in Slovenia, where he came from, it'd be Kobe, K-O-B-E. He was an immigrant to Aurora, Minnesota. He was a miner. His father was a miner. And I was always intrigued that he was the only one of my direct grandparents that came right from the old country. In fact, I just came back from Slovenia. I just got back this week from my first time over there. Beautiful country, interesting place to leave because it's so gorgeous. I mean, it's all mountains and hills and trees. And so I think that was always in the back of my mind, trying to figure out why my grandfather left the old country to come here. And then I grew up with all of these Finns, you know. I mean, I went to school in Duluth, went to UMD, et cetera, et cetera. But I had many, many Finnish American friends, some of who are lifetime friends, lifelong friends. And those piles of rocks in the middle of those pastures in northeastern Minnesota on those old Finnish farmsteads always were curious to me. And so that's where it all came from.
Well, how does contemporary immigration politics kind of enter into the story? We begin right away in current day.
Right. There's a reflection by a present day Finnish soldier who's not happy with the immigration of dark-skinned Muslims to Finland, all countenanced by, in his terms, his view, a liberal Finnish government. And I just think that so many of us come from immigrant stock in this country, you know, other than the Native Americans who were here first and the African Americans who didn't come by choice, most of them, the rest of us have an immigrant story of some kind, whether it's, you know, in the 1700s, the 1800s, 1900s, or in the 2000s, we're all stock of immigration. And this, you know, this pejorative pointing the finger at the other, it's driving me nuts, quite frankly. and I understand there are issues with our immigration policy in a political realm, but from a human sense and from the heart, it just seems to me we've forgotten what made America great and where it came from. And so as this happens in Europe, particularly in Northern Europe, where it's very homogeneous countries, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, and you have these folks who are different faith, different skin color, different culture, being brought in, most of them refugees from war, not always, but most of them, the clash of cultures and the conflict that we're sort of seeing here a little bit on our southern border, I think gets magnified because you're dealing with a completely different faith, too. And so I wanted to explore that.
And so you, and the way you, one of the ways you explore it is there's a doctor at the refugee camp that begins to have a conversation with an imam.
Yeah.
And begins to break down those barriers. And they discover common ground.
Right. And she's mixed race. She's got a Finnish heritage, but she's also African American. So I throw that into the mix. So she's looking at the immigrants that are coming into the refugee camp in Finland where she's serving as a volunteer, thinking, I don't verbalize it in the book, but thinking, these folks aren't that much different than me. They might be different in faith because she's a Baptist, but that's why she tries to reach out and tries to understand why they're coming, what's motivating them, and how am I, meaning her, how is she like them? Not different, but like them.
I feel like you're, through this story, we're learning complexities of the immigrant story, the people who came to, the Finns who came to Minnesota. We're also learning about, I think a lot of times if you focus on U.S. news, you're thinking that the United States is the only place taking in immigrants. So we're reminded of that. But this doctor that we're talking about as well, I think we can overgeneralize Democrats and Republicans. She voted for Trump, right. We learn in that too. So that adds another layer of complexity
right.
to the storyline.
And her brother's not too happy about that. Her brother, who's a registered nurse, who ends up joining her at the refugee camp because he's kind of at a crossroads in his own personal life and his career. He's not too supportive of that. But and of course, then there's her husband, who has his own views of things going on in Finland, because he is a Finnish native. He was born and raised in Finland, though he worked in the United States. So all of those things come into the mix, and there's a dialogue that's held between those three individuals about what it all means. And I'm not trying to answer any questions. I'm just trying to raise the questions and put them in a perspective. And, you know, it may be a right perspective, a wrong perspective, but it's a perspective.
I think one of the things for me that this book did is I have tended to romanticize immigration. You know, you hear the success stories and of how hard and how difficult it was and how much they gave up. I mean, Anders, there's a number of times he said, I should have taken the farm. And I think this is an important read in the climate that we're in right now when immigration is in the headlines. And it opens doors for us to understand it from another perspective. And I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I mentioned earlier I was glad because you were in the studios with us, which normally I was catching you on your lunch break as the busy life of a judge. But I was always intrigued, and now I'm intrigued to hear how it's going, but how you fit so much writing into your life as a judge. Now what are you looking at for retirement? Are you still going to be as committed? You have a little more time, although I suspect you're probably, your time is very filled with many other things as well.
5 grandkids for one thing.
Yeah, there's that.
And they were over last night for my youngest son who just turned 22. His birthday is today. Happy birthday, Jack. But I haven't changed my time parameters in terms of writing. I still get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and write for an hour or two. Now with a book coming out, of course, and because I'm self-published, I have to do all this marketing stuff, like show up and talk to you nice folks, go to the Rotary tonight, those kinds of things. But I haven't changed my writing schedule at all. I don't think I will. There's lots of grouse to chase and lots of fish to catch and lots of rivers to paddle. So that's got to be part of the mix. Otherwise, I'd go nuts if I just sat at my computer. Though I do have to say I have, you know, probably the best place to write, at least that I know of, in northeastern Minnesota. I look at the Cloquet River flowing by my writing studio, and that's a pretty cool deal.
You got the big opening party event coming up in Duluth at Fitgers. Tell us a little bit about what will be happening there.
So we've gone to this format when I do a book launch where I have somebody, sometimes Heidi, sometimes somebody else, interview me, ask me questions from the book, and usually intersperse that with music. I've had Bill and Kate Isles, I've had just a host of different musicians, Mark Rubin, lots of different folks provide music at these events because I like to intersperse music. You know, I'm a frustrated musician. That's what writers are, right? We all want to be folk singers, but we can't, so this is what we do. But this event will be on October the 3rd. It's open to the public, 6:30 at the Fitgers Theater of the North. Free appetizers, admission is free, there'll be books for sale. And Carl Sundquist, a great singer-songwriter from Virginia and also a county attorney, both he and his wife, Stacy, are county attorneys up in on the range, but Carl's a great singer-songwriter, and he's going to be coming down to perform and provide some music, and he'll have some CDs with, too, so it should be a lot of fun. This is being sponsored by the bookstore at Fitgers, one of Duluth's only two independent bookstores. That and Zenith out in West Duluth are both great little indies. You've got one here, you know, Village Books. Mm-hmm. People need to buy those books at Village Books.
Mm-hmm. That's coming up on October 3rd.
It is at 6:30.
Okay, sounds great. That is Mark Munger. His new novel comes out on October 1st. You can find it at local bookstores or find information at CloquetRiverPress.com. He'll be speaking at the Rotary Club tonight in Grand Rapids. So if you are a Rotarian listening, you get to ask him questions and listen to him talk about the book. Anything we missed? You want to?
No, I just hope I don't get lost chasing grouse and miss the Rotary.
Do you? No, of course you do. Thanks for being with us today, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
It's called Kotima Homeland. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show. Coming up, we'll have Minnesota Native News.